I'm thankful for God's Word today. The Bible is 66 books. We've been going from beginning to end. And man, guys, we're about halfway. And halfway in pages, that is. We're going to hit a lot of books that are a little bit smaller, and it's going to take us some time to get through. But the Bible's not in chronological order, the whole thing. And there's a reason for that. God tries to paint a picture. So we took you from Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, and now we're in Proverbs. And so here we are in the book of Proverbs, which we got out of Psalms. It's like a millennial songbook or a prayer book. And now we hit the book of Proverbs. And anybody that's read the book of Proverbs, anybody read the book of Proverbs? It's a very common book because, you know, being there's 31 chapters in this book. And so a lot of people like to read whatever day of the week it is. Like, you know, today it is the 26th, so they'll read Proverbs 26. And it works out real good there. And this is a book of wisdom. It is a book, if you look at how God lined the Bible, it's a picture of like eternity. The king is on the throne and he's dispensing wisdom. So when we got to the book of Psalms, in the book of Psalms, we found out Psalms is the middle of your Bible. The heart of your Bible is a song book. It's a prayer book. It's a relational book. And so that's why a lot of people like to read Psalms. It's every emotion of the human heart up and down and how God is in the middle of that. And he never changes and he's faithful and he's a foundation, even though I go up and down in my world and in my life. It deals with sin. It deals with glory. The book of Psalms is the heart of God, and next to the book of Psalms is now the book of Proverbs. If Psalms is the heart of God, Proverbs is the mind of God. It's the mind of God. Proverbs. Some people struggle with the book of Proverbs because there's no storyline. You don't really have a bunch of stories unfolding. It's almost like every verse stands on its own sometimes. But it's nuggets of wisdom, you know, nuggets of information and knowledge. And you're like, and usually people are like, whoa, that's pretty incredible. But if I could tell you what the book of Proverbs was in 10 words or less, it would be concise, memorable sayings to encourage people to pursue wisdom. That's kind of fancy. If you read a commentary, it'll say, it's a pithy book, you know, meaning pithy, concise. It just, everything, these nuggets all the way through. So it's a collection of just practical tips for living. And it is a book of wisdom. It's mainly from the pen of Solomon, but there are two areas in there where there's two other authors. I'll show you that here in a little bit. The author is Solomon. And if you would, I know you're probably in Proverbs. If you could back up to the book of 1 Kings, I'd like you to look at chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, and it says, you know, Solomon, he loved the Lord, the Bible says. He loved the Lord in 1 Kings chapter 3, it says in verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. And then you keep going down, that's the problem with putting an audible on the phone, isn't it? People do that all the time in church. It comes up, and at least, you know, I'm just thankful it's not, you know, you get exposed with a TikTok video on in the middle of church. At least you got God's word coming out there, right? So happens to us all. So Solomon loved the Lord, but check this out in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, God said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask, God says, it's like a genie in the bottle type of passage. God says, what do you want? And you know, I got a bunch of genie stories, but they're jokes. I'll tell you them later. I shouldn't do them up here. But what's funny is the Bible says that Solomon says in verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this? Why so great a people? Thy so great a people. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, verse 12, I have done according to thy words, Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. God said it. So you know what this means? Solomon, he's the wisest man that ever lived. Not just back then, before and after. And now God granted him all this wisdom and knowledge and information, and he wanted it so he could discern and judge God's people as the king. So God was very pleased that he had this. And so any book that Solomon writes, you want to pay attention. That's why a lot of people read the book of Proverbs. I know Christians, I know pastors that read the book of Proverbs over and they just start at the beginning and every month they start again. If you're struggling with where to read, sometimes that's okay. Just say, man, it's the 26th, I'm going to read Proverbs 26. Whatever it takes. But he's the wisest man that ever lived. Plato, Socrates, they take a back seat to Solomon. Do you get this? I'm not lying. We always look at the smartest people in the world. We're like, well, this guy says this, and they've studied this. But when I read the book of Proverbs, it says this. Well, now you got a choice. Are you going to believe the minds that be, or are you going to believe what God said in the book of Proverbs using the wisest man that ever lived? You better take the book of Proverbs. I don't care who says it, if 1,000 people believe it. If the Bible says it, I'm taking the Bible. There's only one opinion that matters, right? And it's God's word. This is the mind of God. So the book of Proverbs, man, it has it going on, right? Even the wife in Proverbs 31. It's pretty amazing, this book is. It's really unique in a way, and it's kind of unusual. Did you know in this culture, like you see, it's a lot of males, you know, and Jesus chose all the disciples. He didn't choose a female. And which is really, I know it's just a little bit different because our culture, the way we grew up is, you know, like our women, you know, they like work. They got careers. Our structure in society is set up where they can make it on their own. And a lot of them do. I'm not saying it's right all the time. But back then, this is wild that the whole end chapter of Proverbs includes this long, I guess, poem, you could say, like praising wives. It's the virtuous woman, and a lot of ladies love this chapter. If you read Proverbs 31 and compare your life as a woman, you'll be utterly discouraged. I'm like, this was Wonder Woman, man. She does everything and does it correctly. She has businesses. She takes care of her husband. She takes care of her children. She's known. She makes sure her husband at the gate is ready. All this comes from her. And if you read this book about this war-worthy, righteous woman, you'll be very, very impressed. And it's not to read and get discouraged, but if anything, you can read it. And I'm going to give you some secrets to being that virtuous woman today. But that's just unique and unusual in the book that happens. So Proverbs, we know what it is now. It's a collection of wise sayings. It's teaching practical guidance to live righteous and successful. It's designed to instruct on wisdom, discipline, justice, moral living, always emphasizing the fear of the Lord. And by the way, Proverbs chapter 1, you should be in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Do you see this? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's what we fear, that's how it starts. People think knowledge is the more education you get. Some people think it's the more experience you get. That's not necessarily true, right? It's not ever how long you've been on the road, but how far down the road have you been? There's a difference there. I know people that are older and they're not wise at all. I know people that have gray hairs and they've lived a lot of life and raised a lot of families, but they don't have the wisdom of God. And it's a shame because these are the people that really should be our examples. They should be in our churches. We've always lacked older people in the church to guide and direct us. And me and Bob Berry made a pact years ago. We're like, I'll tell you what, then we're going to be those old men. That's what we're going to be. And now the gray's coming in. You know, my girls are moving out. I'm advancing and changing a little bit in life and figuring some things out. And we did at recovery on Friday night, there was a question that Bob proposed, and he said, hey, is there like like a fear that you have, a big fear that's holding you back that maybe you've never admitted in front of people, you know. And of course, our circle is pretty quiet. The insecurities that get the best of all of us. And I was sitting there, and I was going to speak if it sat quiet, and then a couple guys did speak up. But I'll be honest with you, a great fear I have in my life is a fear of not finishing well. Because I don't know. When I went through my deepest problems as a pastor, I thought, man, I'm going to call pastors that have went on before me, pastors that have done the job right, and they're older and they've got more experience. And as the years went on, they just kept dropping like flies. I was like, where are these guys at? David said in the book of Psalms, he said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Where's the gray-haired man pastor that's been doing it for all these years that I can call? And that I can say, hey, I need some advice here. I'm going through some difficulty. And I've had some lonely nights. I'm here to tell you, I want to get to the spot in my life that as I'm getting older, and I'm 55, so I'm not claiming I'm old. I'm just heading that direction. We all are. But I hope I'm the guy that my phone rings. I hope I'm the older man that even when I can't hang up here so much, where I can still be out there and people will be like, I think you need to go talk to Pastor Blake. He'll take you to God's word and show you, give you. I want to be that guy that other pastors would call. And when other pastors, need help. So that's one of my biggest fears is a couple times in my life I've almost stepped on a moral landmine because the pressure was so great. I thought there's only one way to end this thing. I'll just morally mess up and I'll be done. And I can do what I do best. I can go back to construction work and pouring concrete. I'm so thankful for the Proverbs. I'm so thankful for the men of God in this church that have kept me alive and kept me moving. And went through some dark times. Some of us have been there together, haven't we? I remember one big time at the very beginning. I don't know why I'm on the soapbox. I need to get off of it. So let me say one other thing. There was one time in my life I thought, I'm going to lose my job as a pastor because of some behavior I was doing, some of the ways I was living. And I remember sitting with a group of guys in a room and I confessed some sin. I said, guys, I want to tell you, I got to be honest with you. I can't be a phony. Here's who your pastor is. And so I puked all over the table. And they looked at my puke, and instead of dissecting it and pointing their finger and correcting me and doing what Job's friends did to him, I remember a group of guys got out of their chairs that day. They walked around to the table, and they put their hands on me. And they prayed for me. They picked me up and wiped me off, bandaged me up, and said, man, you're our pastor. We're going to get some victory over that. And that day, I got some immense help, accountability in my life at a time when I thought, man, I'm throwaway. I'm done. God said, dude, you're just beginning. And so praise the Lord. I'm thankful for those days. And the men, there's only a few of them in this building today that were here then. Most of them, like Dan Fridley said, they got up here and Todd embraced the suck. And then they left when things got sucky. You know, and that's not what real leaders do. So you got the panoramic view of the book of Proverbs, I think. 31 verses. We know what it's about, what it covers. And, man, it deals with laziness. But I'll tell you one of the big things that I really want you to get down is you're going to get this. There's a full verse, the wise. All the way through this book, God will tell you, this is what's hard about reading a book of Proverbs, because you're doing something or living your life a certain way, and you'll read it, and God will say, yeah, you ever do this? And you'll be like, yeah, Lord, I've done that. You're a fool. I pity the fool, right? Oh, my gosh. But if you want to be wise, you need to do this. It's a hard book, because a lot of times I feel like sometimes I fall under this foolish category. But the nice thing about the Lord is he just says, well, you can be wise. Here's a decision you need to make. So Let me go from the beginning of Proverbs, and let me run you kind of down through. Okay, I'll come back to that. Panoramic views this. Primary events and people. So let me give you a breakdown of this book, because it's really simple. I've seen different breakdowns, but chapters 1 through 7, what you're going to get is a father talking to his child. And if you want to see that, you can go to Proverbs 1, and he'll start, and you get down to verse 7. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Notice the big difference between wise and foolish. This is clear as a bell all the way through this book, but people miss it. You know what fools do? They despise wisdom and instruction. Fools don't listen to anybody. Fools don't take heed to counsel. Fools always think they know. Fools use Google and make their decisions. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. The Bible says in Proverbs over and over again, the big distinction between a fool and a wise man is a wise man listens. He takes counsel. He seeks advice. Most people, you know, they end up in this pit of life. It's amazing to me. I've seen people come in, you know, they'll come in, have oatmeal down the front of their shirt, got stains all over their pants, and they want to talk about how to be clean. And everybody's sitting around going, "She's a fool. You're a fool to think you know things like that. That's ridiculous." But a wise man, man, a wise man listens. So we got right here, the first thing you see is a father to his child. Look at verse 8. "My son." So listen, gang, I want you to know something. What God needs to be to you and me, God is, he's the God of, you know, he's Yahweh. We know all these names. He's Jah. He's the creator of the universe. But listen, if you're going to grow, if you're going to be on a journey to wisdom, I think most people want wisdom. Hey, would you like to be stupid or smart? Now, I'm not saying ignorant, because some people say ignorance bliss, which that's a totally distasteful statement. But if you'd say, hey, you want to be stupid or do you want some wisdom? I don't know anybody that'd say, I'll choose stupid. Well, dude, you already got it. Bad choice. You're already with it there. But if you want wisdom, you know how it starts off? Listen to me. This is super important. God wants to father you. He don't want to be God up in heaven and command, stop doing that, you knucklehead. Boom, drop the bow on. He don't operate that way. Now, he will discipline. But listen, the problem with our society here in the western part of the world, they call us a fatherless, last couple generations, fatherless generations. Nobody has old school dads and grandpas to knock some sense into them, to teach them some good things. You know, nobody has that. And guys, I grew up with a dad. My dad was present, but my dad was silent. He was quiet, which is good. I always thought, little did I know till I got down the road a little further, I realized silence is abusive. I was left to figure it out, a lot of it on my own. I'm glad he set a good example. I didn't have a dad that, you know, was causing all kinds of trouble. But he just sat quiet when I really needed somebody to grab me by my shirt collar and straighten me up. I got in trouble once. One of the first bits of trouble I got into with the law was in junior high school. And I just foolish. The book of Proverbs, you know how you say all these signs you put in your yard that says vote for mayor, vote for congressman. Everybody puts all these presidential signs in the yard. Vote for the congressman, vote for whatever, state representative. Well, we just had a great idea. You know, I'm in the seventh grade, of going and stealing everybody's signs. So we stole all these signs until we got like 30 of them. And then we went to one person's yard and put all of them in there. You know, sounds funny. Yeah, it is funny. And I look back now, I'm like, you idiot. Well, I pounded all these signs in this yard, and I'm up there, and all of a sudden I hear the front door open up, and my buddy yells out, and he goes, "Blake, they're coming out the door." You know, it's a, I turned around, I seen that door open up, and there was a screen door there, and man, I took one of these signs I had left to beat in, and I threw it onto the porch, but it went like a sword. It was like I was in the movie Braveheart. This sign went, whoosh, 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 and this elderly lady was at her glass screen door, and that spike went through and broke her glass. I thought, my gosh, if that was a real sword, I'd have killed this gal. I've been doing prison ministry right now from the inside, you know. And I took off running like a blaze. The problem was, this guy was spending the night with me, so my mom knew. He took off this way, I took off this way. So anyways, I'll tell you what happened to me is I was hiding behind somebody's yard in a bush, and I I kept yelling out, Wesley! Wesley! You know, and you know, like, while I'm hiding, you know. It's like playing hide and seek with your 2-year-old. You know, you win every time because you're like, where are you at? You know, I'm not supposed to tell. Well, there you are. You know. So I finally, I come out on the street and I said, Wesley, I got to go home with this guy. And this car pulled up. The brake slammed and a guy got out and I couldn't run fast enough to get away from him. And he grabbed me by my collar and he threw me in the back of this car. I'd have rather been in a police car at this point. I thought, this guy is going to start snipping my toes off. This guy's going to put me in his basement. I've seen all those movies. And you know what he did? By the time he took me to his mom's house that I broke the glass, the cops were already waiting. Then I transferred from this back seat to this back seat. You know, and I'm sitting back there and like, well, we're going to take you home. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, no. But you know what it was? This guy grabbed me, man. And I couldn't shake him. People don't realize that, but everybody needs somebody that can grab you and you can't get loose. You know, if you don't do it as a parent, you know what happens? The law does it later in life. There's a bunch of guys in the county jail today, and they're down there, and they're like, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I had one guy down there tell me we were doing a church service down there, and he says, I rule this place. I'm the king of this place. I said, you're the king of the county jail, the Warren County Jail. You're a real tough guy. Now, I'm glad the bars were between me and him because he was a tough guy, no lie. I wouldn't have wanted to fight him. It would have been bad. Win or loss, I'd have been hurting, you know. So, but it's funny. That's how, I was like, my gosh, you're all over the book of Proverbs. Did you know your name's in Proverb? I said, fool. You're foolish to say you run the county jail. Yeah, you're a real gangster, ain't you? And that dude, shortly later, I went in and he was gone. He went to a bigger place, went to prison. So, everybody needs somebody to shake them. They've proven this. There was a place in India where these juvenile elephants were going through, tearing up. A lot of the houses had grass, straw roofs, and these elephants were just like a behavior that was uncommon. They were going through tearing crap up. They were going through villages tearing houses, like just tearing stuff up. People are terrified of the elephants. They're like, my gosh, what do we do here? And so finally, the government said, well, what we need is to get an older bull elephant. So these juvenile elephants were tearing things up and hurting things and hurting people, and they brought in a massive bull elephant, and all problems ceased. These juveniles needed somebody to follow. They needed somebody that could put them in their place. The problem is when you're raised in a home without a daddy, you become a fool. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. And so you become the guy or the girl that has just got to learn the hard way. It's sad. The book of Proverbs could save us from that. And guys, I'm not sitting here beating you up. Some of you are grown people saying, you're sitting here going, yeah, that's me. I've been a fool my whole life. No, you're in here today. Yeah. We're dispensing wisdom. Everything changes. But I guess I'm preaching just to say this. Would you let God father you? Would you listen to him? When he tells you what to do, would you say, God, teach me? Would you treat your wife a little bit better, your husband a little bit better? You know how you're going to do that? Listen to your dad. He's going to lay it out for you. You come from an abusive background, and you think, well, God, everybody has a dad. You think God's your father, and people are like, father? What kind of father? People despise fathers today. All comedy's got some dumb dad, and everybody makes fun of this guy. On all the sitcoms, it makes me sick. I used to watch Disney Channel with my girls when they were little. I'd sit there, and I'm like, shut that show off. They're like, what happened, Dad? There wasn't no cussing or nothing on there. I was like, yeah, they keep making fun of that dad like he's a bimbo. You got to know that not all men are bimbos. Your dad don't want to be an idiot. You know, all jokes are on me all the time. That's what society has portrayed. And of course, through history and the women's lib movement has come up. It's sad because everybody's out of sorts right now and they're out of their roles. And I'm not saying there's not cases and abuse and weird things that happen while we make these decisions. But I just want you to know this right now. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. If you're going to get wise, the first thing you need to do, you're the child, he's the dad. Let him speak. Listen to your dad. They have proven that your parents can pick a better spouse than you any day of the week. That's why countries where they do like prearranged marriages, and they don't have divorce, and people learn to love people that they would never choose on their own. It's amazing to me if people would just be able to submit, but most people are like, no, I'll make my own decision. And then we let What kind of world do we live in where you let your kid, there's Hollywood stars that are like, well, what's the kid's name? And they pick some gender neutral name and just say, well, because we're going to wait till he gets 5 years old so he can decide if he wants to be a girl or a boy. You know, I'm just like, you know what that is? Well, read the book of Proverbs. Fool. Fool. Hey, you're a grown adult. You want to make a decision like that? Have at it. Because you know what Proverbs says? You're still a fool. You'll just pay a price for that. We all pay a price for a decision. But to give a kid that decision. There ain't no child that can make that move. I got to be part of a court case one time. There was a 12-year-old girl. Her mom was doing drugs, and her dad was struggling with alcohol, but he was been clean for a while. And I got the opportunity to come in there, and this girl had to go into court on Monday and tell, basically state where she wanted to live. The choice was going to be hers. Well, the problem is she loves her mom. She was real tight with her mom and didn't spend a ton of time with her dad because, you know, he'd been addicted and been sent away, a couple things like that. But this guy was doing really, really good, been doing good for a couple years. I personally knew this man. I discipled him. We sat there in the living room, and she's like, he said, can you come over? She's struggling. I don't know what decision to make, you know, because I love both my parents. And her dad was, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt my dad. You know, I was just sitting there, and I was just like listening to all this silliness. I said, listen to me. Are you listening? She goes, yeah. And I said, you're not going to live with your mom. She's a drug addict. You got an older brother in the house going down the same path. This is not a decision for you. You're going to live with your father. End of story. She dropped a tear down her face and she goes, okay. I just hugged this little girl and prayed with her. Today, she's married, got a couple kids. She's serving Jesus. She's in church this morning just like we are. I'm like, give a 12-year-old a major life decision like that? She needed a dad. Her dad blew it a little bit. You know, her dad was wise to bring me in. Because sometimes you blow it with your kids. Or sometimes your kids don't want to listen to you. So that's what I love about youth group, having godly people where you can just say, well, go. My daughter Josephine has chosen many a times and to talk to the cooks. She's several times in her life, she goes, she's told them things she's never told me. Which, you know, and this is why I want to beat Jason in fantasy football. Because she's went to him over me. And, you know, but that's okay because she's been around enough to make wise decisions. She knows who to go to. So, guys, I'm telling you, some of you, you've been done wrong in life. You got a father now, man, if you're part of the family. Now, check this out. This is crazy. This is going to not make a whole lot of sense now. Chapters 8 clear almost through the end. You know what this is? This is God's view. This is God's view on everything, on every life issue. The whole point of this is God's view. And we need to make it man's view. We need to let God's viewpoint be our viewpoint. That's the book of Proverbs. And guys, it's beautiful. I just heard a story just last 2 weeks ago. A guy got into a situation. He thought, that's it. Somebody's going to get their... I'm going to bust somebody's skull open. I was like, okay, that'll be good. You know, pray before you do that, you know. And he gets in Proverbs, and Proverbs says, a soft answer turns away wrath. So his dad was saying, son, give a soft answer. You're going to lose on this one. And he obeyed. He made his viewpoint God's viewpoint. That's what this whole, the majority of this book is this. Now check this out. Guys, everybody knows the last chapter is the chapter of the virtuous woman, right? If you want to go to Proverbs 31, the very end. You got this king that speaks in the first 9 verses, and then it says in verse 10, watch this. Who can find a virtuous woman? Don't you like how God does this? Because we're talking about virtuous woman and being godly. I like how the Bible says it. Who can find one? You know, it's the age-old question for all of us men, isn't it? Where's the good women at? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The Bible says in Proverbs, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. And guys, and let me tell you what happens with men. You know what happens with men a lot of times? Well, think of David. This is David's son here. David whipped giants. Giant, 10-foot men. David was a warrior. But little Bathsheba got him. As tough as he was, what did he fall to? He fell to a woman. It's sad. Who can find a virtuous woman? You read, and you guys know what the word virtuous means? The word virtuous, means basically strength. It can actually, if you look at different definitions of it, can mean an army. So what you find a virtuous woman is this. It's my favorite definition of a virtuous woman. Because don't think of a lady that's pregnant in the kitchen making bacon, eggs, and toast every morning. No, that's Leave It to Beaver. The virtuous woman, she's war worthy. She's strong. It don't mean she's weak. She's obedient to the Bible. There are words like submission that kick in there in the Bible, for sure. All that stuff in there. It's like going to a wedding and somebody says at the wedding, like, you know, where it says, hey, make sure you submit to your husband. I've had ladies say, I don't know about that line there. It's like, well, that's a biblical line. I'm not taking it out. You can get somebody else to do your marriage. Because I'm going to be virtuous. So a strong woman. So check this out. What's neat about Proverbs is this. Check this out. Oh, I didn't write anything. A virtuous woman. All men in the room, you'd think right away, well, this ain't for me. Well, I got news for you. You're wrong. The Bible says that as a husband and wife are supposed to love each other, submit to each other in Ephesians 5, it's the comparison of Jesus Christ and his church. If you're a Christian in this room, if you're part of the body of Christ, you got a relationship with Jesus, guess what? He's the head. He's the male figure. And even as a man, I would be the feminine part of that relationship. We are the bride of Christ. That's what the Bible says. That we're the bride of Christ. So, as a man, one of my favorite books out there, like it's written for women. And I've read the thing like 3 or 4 times. And I'm not a huge reader on books type of like that, but you ever read like Redeeming Love? That book put a lump in my throat, man. Most women like it. It's a womanly type of book. And I got it, and it's lacking pictures inside, but that's okay. I read it anyway. Because you know why? I am the bride of Christ. He's the head of me. I will submit myself to him. He uses me. We partner together. But I'm here to tell you, he's the head of our relationship. Most marriages are like, well, we got to be equal. Well, that's not what the Bible says. But everybody thinks that today. We do everything 50-50. Everybody, we make our decisions together. That's what we do. If he don't agree with it, I don't do it. If she don't agree with it, I don't do it. You know, I'm not just like, well, then you know what you do? You're a household that makes no decisions. Me and Becky aren't equal on much of anything. We argue about everything. You know, we're driving by and there's a couple geese out on a pond or on a lake somewhere. And my first thought is, I think that, like, man, how'd you? I got chased by a goose when I was little. I was somewhere where I shouldn't have been on some guy's property. And my brother goes, look inside that little place. I look inside it. There was a swan, a big white swan sitting on eggs in there. And my brother knew what he was doing. That thing came out of there at me. You ever seen them? They can run. They put that neck out straight as an arrow. I was running like crazy. I was terrified. So Matthew, I'm thinking, ch-ch-ch. And as I'm thinking this, Becky's like, did you know, like, swans, they, when they find a partner, like, they mate for life. I was like, well, I guess I have to kill both of them. But we think different. We think different. So if you will allow God to father you, if you will allow the majority of your life, the rest of your life after you grow up, to get in God's word and let God's view become your view, his opinion become your opinion. If you'll allow the Bible to take precedence over all that, all of life, you will then be a virtuous woman. You don't get here easily. There's a lot of correction. You read a book of Proverbs, it keeps telling the wise man. Wise man takes heed to correction. Fools don't. Fools don't listen to anybody. Right? I always think of Mr. T, you know, pity the fool. Sanford and Son, I really like that. That bitty-eyed fool, he'd always, remember, you watch that show? That's a good one. Was a good one. I guess not anymore. But calling people fools. So the primary, this is primary the story of the book of Proverbs. And just to let you know, virtuous women, we don't have time to go through chapter 31. She was filled with faith. She was filled with love, integrity, hope. As you read the story, humility, self-control, perseverance, patience, kindness, righteousness, respect, honor. You'd read that book and think she runs her household. But yet she says in there, she honors her husband at the gates. She makes sure that they're in their proper position. Isn't that crazy? What a crazy book. Guys, I'm just here to tell you, if you come to God as a little child, then spend the rest of your life just letting that book go inside of you. I always say, no grown man's going to tell me what to do. That's the foolish side of me. Then I became saved, and God kept putting godly men in my life to learn from. I'm so thankful for that. Godly men in my world. I kept going to the book, and I realized something. You know what? My wife, she knows better than to come to me and start telling me what I'm doing wrong and start harping and nagging on me. Don't nag on me. Nobody likes to be nagged. But if she comes with Scripture, I become a puddle. Because I'll listen to the Lord. He's fathered me well. He's never disappointed me. He's put right men and women in my life, but mainly older men as an example to me. It's in a world that don't have that. Our young people don't have that today. And I'm here to tell you, I've been surprised at the amount of time in public that I have addressed a young man. And he might have been angry, but he listened to me. I couldn't believe it, because you know what? You can just tell. He's looking. Because if you don't find it there, you get it elsewhere. Then you go somewhere else, and why do people want that family type of thing, and somebody will dominate them for evil and wickedness? Why don't we do it for righteousness? I walked the stairs of the high school a few years ago. It was before school started. I had some business to take care of, and I go in there, and this kid takes some paper, and he wads it up, and he kicks open the front door of school, and he just throws it out on the grass right in front of me. I was like, all right. It's loud in there, chaos. And I went up those stairs, and the Holy Spirit of God said, hey, don't let that go. It's like, ah, my gosh, I'm getting ready to get beat up by a sophomore, you know. I go down there, and I said, I didn't want to embarrass him in front of his friends. They're all leaning against the wall. And I just went up to his ear, and I just said, hey, man, you need to pick that paper he threw out there. There's a trash can right out there. You can throw it in there, but you ain't going to leave that on the grass. It's all right. He don't say nothing. So I start walking away. I'm like, well, I don't know what to do now. I turn around. It's like, all right, pal, listen. I wasn't going to embarrass you, but I'm fixing to. You threw a piece of paper out there. Now his friends are listening. Then he stands there. It's against the wall. So you know what? I had to assume position. I did. I was like, I'm not moving. You're going to move. And he screamed. He just said the word fine. Fine! Real loud. Everybody in the hallway got quiet. And everybody looks down. And there's me, you know, and this kid yelling. He goes outside and he grabs that piece of paper. And he slams it in the trash and comes back in. I said, you're a good young man. So don't ever forget. Do the right thing. It was weird. What a weird situation. He listened to me. And he didn't listen. I wasn't going to beat somebody up. I'd have been in jail. And then he might have whipped me. I don't know how that works, you know. We one time were doing concrete work at a place, and my buddy, there was all these young kids hanging out late at night. He's like, shouldn't you little schoolboys be home in bed? This kid had to be 12 years old and pulled a pistol out of his pants. And I was like, my gosh, you don't talk to people that way, man. We was getting ready to get shot by a kindergartner, you know. It was terrible. But like, yeah, you don't, hey, they need father. They need father, but be careful how you do that, right? Hey, I got a lot of things to say on this book, but let me do this. Panoramic view, and now there's no storyline. I can give you quotable things. The book of Proverbs has so many quotes in it that everybody in here would be like, yeah, yeah, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Yeah, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. That ant's working all the time. There's all kinds of quotes in Proverbs. A wise son makes a glad father. All kinds of Proverbs. As jewel of gold in a snout, swine snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. Some beautiful young girl letting it all hang out. You know what you are? You're like a pig with a jewel in its nose. You got to knock that off. That is going to send you into a deep spiral of trouble. Spare the rod. Spoil the child. See, that's all from Proverbs. A soft answer turns away wrath. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The world teaches opposite. The world teaches total opposite. The Bible says, commit your works, do the right thing, and then your thoughts will be established. The world teaches, get your heart straight. Well, I'm not going to do that because then I'm not being sincere. You know, it's not real to me. You know what I'm talking about? No, I don't know what you're talking about. Do the right thing. Quit thinking too hard on it. You're overthinking about everything. Quit thinking and you do the right thing, your thoughts will be lined up. Everybody always does that. You know, well, I'll treat my wife better when she what? Your father, the Bible said, this is how you treat her. And I'm telling you what, dude, if you'll be that, she'll be in love with you. You'll be the hero she's always wanted and needed. Do the right thing. Yeah, but you don't know how she talks to me. I probably don't know how she talks to you, but I grew up in a home. I had a mom. I heard all that business. I've been married a long time myself. You want to hear how Becky talks to me? She's over there teaching kids this morning. I don't want to embarrass her without her being here. I know how it works. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. Ain't that beautiful? A good name is rather to be chosen than riches. Hey, answer not a fool according to his folly. Hey, what about this? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. What wisdom, man. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A good friend will wound you right now because they love you. It's like a parent. I'll never hit my kid. Well, then you don't love your kid. That's what Proverbs says. You hate your kid. No, I mean, I'm not going to. Well, just because you were abused, just because spanking gets out of control, just because parents get angry and slap their kid, and yeah, that's all abuse. You know, I got DCFS that called me, well, a couple times, but not necessarily even about me. It was just about people. One guy walking up his driveway, his 10-year-old boy was getting mouthy with him. He didn't know what to do, so he decided to like punt a football, but he used the kid's hind end as the football. The neighbor was watching. He ran and booted this kid right between his legs, man. This kid fell over, and anyway, a neighbor seen it, called DCFS, coming, and he says, well, I go to this church. My pastor tells us we should whip our kids and discipline them, you know. So DCFS got a hold of me and just said, this guy told us that, you know, that you say that we should lay our hands on it. I said, well, you're taking all that wrong. I would never back up drop kicking a child. I would never back that up. I'm a Bible guy. The Bible says a rod. And then they say things like, well, don't use the rod because a rod can hurt him. You can use your hand. Well, that's funny. The Bible don't talk about it. These hands are made for loving, man. I work and love these. I don't ever want. You ever see a kid, you know, that parents use their hand all the time? Because then you're like, hey, son. And your kids flinch. And you're like, wow, that dude gets whacked with his hand all the time. It's clear as a bell to everybody. But when you whip like that, it's bad. The Bible gives a method to doing discipline to where your kids don't fear you. They don't flinch. You are in control as a parent. You're not angry. You're a wise man or a wise woman, and you do exactly what Proverbs says. All this wisdom comes from the book of Proverbs. Wisdom to get through life, and we need it. Now listen, because of time's sake, there's number three is pictures of Jesus. Well, the best picture of Jesus in the book of Proverbs, this is going to sound generic at first, but it's really not that generic. Wisdom. That's Jesus. This is the mind of Christ. Let me prove it to you using Scripture. Hold your place in Proverbs and take your Bibles and go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3:19 that wisdom, by wisdom the worlds were created. The worlds were created by wisdom. The Bible says in Colossians 1, 15 and 16, Jesus Christ created everything. Before he was a baby in Bethlehem, he's God Almighty. He existed in the Old Testament. He was the creator of it all. So, wisdom. Look at 1 Corinthians. Oh, I need to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 24, 1 Corinthians 1, 24. It says this, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Jesus is the wisdom of God. Look at verse 30 in the same chapter. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God, which tells me this. Guys, if you get this point down today, you'll be money. This will be money. You'll be rich the rest of your life. Wisdom is not words in a book. Wisdom is a person. It's Jesus. It's like hope. Everybody's like, "Well, I hope it happens." Well, hope's a person. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, the Bible says. If you really want hope, you got to know Jesus. It's relational. Wisdom is relational. That's why we do discipleship here. You meet with somebody and you're just talking life, talking the Bible. It's relational. You treat the Bible the same way. The book of Proverbs is not a book for you to get knowledge. There's no test on this. It's a book for you and me to change our lives, to obey it. It's like a dad to his child, and then here, "God, give me your viewpoint. What do you think about this? I'm going to make that my viewpoint." And then by the end result, the byproduct is you're going to be war worthy. You'll be virtuous. You'll have strength. You'll be the woman that everybody looks up to. You'll be the woman that the kids want to be like. You'll be the man that people look at and say, "That guy right there. That guy right there. That's who I need to be like." Well, guess what? I've strived my whole life to be like Jesus. And I've got men that modeled that for me. And I just followed them. I learned so much from the book of Proverbs and men that modeled the book for me. I wish for you the same thing. Christ is seen as the wisdom of God. And by the way, chapter 18, verse 24, you ever heard of this proverb? "And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." That's Jesus. That's Jesus. He's in the book of Proverbs. But I'm telling you, he's in like every other verse. It's wisdom. The wisdom of God is Jesus. Just remember that. That's why the Bible even says, "Call wisdom your sister." It uses, you're like, "What? That's weird, is it?" No, it's relational. That's what it's saying. Work this thing out with him. I like people say stuff like, "I don't know how to pray." No, you don't know how to have a relationship. That's what it is. I have parents tell me all the time that young people today, they're jacked up. All they have is screens. And I look over and their three kids are all on their phones. Well, the problem's not your kids. That's you. Mama? Mama! It's a problem. It's you. But I know how it is when you have a troubled kid and you're like, "What else do I do?" You give them a device. And then they can't be relational. And so we struggle with that growing up in a culture like this. So you know what prayer is? It's so relational. I'm crying out to God. And it's not always, David shared his feelings in the book of Psalms. It's not always good. I don't always pray like, you know, we had a relative every time they prayed. I just was at the table every time I'd get the pukes, man, the dry heaves. Like, "Oh, this guy would pray," and he'd just say, "Our dear, most precious and gracious Heavenly Father." Well, okay, I'm all about reverence and I get it. But he was praying to a God that couldn't be touched. Instead of praying like the Bible says, "Abba, Father." I don't want to be disrespectful to my God, but when I'm by myself, I'm like, "Listen, Dad, I'm really struggling here. I'm about to lose my crap. If you don't show up and show what's going to happen here," and I got a prayer list of things I'll work through. Everybody in here, your name's on it. That's what I do. I keep a list in the church, and not every day. Sometimes I break it up into different sections and pray. If there's trouble, you got trouble in your life, there's a hospital situation, I take that stuff to the Lord. It's the best feeling in the world when I'm talking to my dad and I can cross one off. God heard me. He listens to me. And you know what? I listen to him. I wish I obeyed him a little bit better, but let me end this thing with practical living. So you got the book of Proverbs down. Most people know. So, and guys, I got like notes for days. For days, man. If you go through the book of Proverbs and look up the word fool every time it appears, get on the internet. It'll tell you. Foolishness. Wise. Wisdom. I looked up every time it appears in Proverbs. So I could tell you, I don't want you to leave the church today and say, you know, fool. I don't want you to walk out today saying, man, I've been foolish. But a wise man recognizes his foolishness. And he adjusts. That's why church don't have to be like, sometimes people are like, man, I keep going to church and just get beat up. You know why? Because you're a fool. You're not taking heed to correction. You know? It's the polecat, you know? Petting a cat. And sometimes we got a couple wild ones at our house now. And pet them backwards. Grab them from their tail and pet them up to their head. Just stroke their hair the total wrong way. They don't like that. You know, cats don't usually like their belly scratched either. Try it. You take a wild cat and try. I pet this one, and then I try to get on his belly. I mean, he tore me up. Pet him from his tail up, and you know what will happen? As the dominant one, I'm stroking this cat backwards, and he is fired up. And somebody might just say, hey, pet that cat differently. No, the cat needs to repent. The cat can just turn, and my same stroke would pet him correctly. And this is what Proverbs is. I'm like, God, you keep stroking me wrong. And listen, I'm telling you, your father's shouting out, turn around. Just turn around. Turn around. Repent. I ain't going to church. Every time I go to church, I just get beat up. Yet, let me tell you why. You're a fool. You're just being foolish. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. You know how it is. We listened to a testimony at recovery this night, and this guy's just like, had a drinking problem. And he said, you know what I did? I was like, God, I need to be different. I'm asking for your help. And he did all this, and he went right inside of the house. And he goes, you know what? Tonight we need to go out to eat. And behind his motivation, the whole thing was he wanted a couple drinks when he went out to dinner. It felt better with his family there. But he says, man, I just prayed this prayer and got right with God and literally turned around and said, hey, let's go to a restaurant tonight. We could eat out together. And I was like, that's how we are, fools. We're foolish. We all have done it, ain't we? And by the way, if I was preaching a mess on fools today, I got an outline here for fools in Proverbs. You know what fools do? They don't listen. They will not pay the price for wisdom, even though it's above rubies and above gold. They won't pay the price for it. Nobody's going to tell them what to do. You claim ignorance now. Get in the book of Proverbs and you'll be in deep trouble. Because then you'll have a decision to make. I'm going to be a fool today or I'm going to be wise. I'm going to live like I want to today, or I'm going to live like a child of God. You know what a fool does? They despise correction. They don't take it. Nobody's going to tell them what to do, or it's good enough. It ain't all bad. Don't you like that when you start working with a kid? We all have had kids in our house, not all of us, but you correct them and talk to them. But then I like it. You'll start explaining something to somebody, and they'll just say, like, yeah, I know. Or anything you do, like they've done it. You got to look at, I just remember I had to, when they were little, I was just like, okay, I don't need to choke this girl. But I said, how about you know nothing? Nothing. You've never done anything like this in your whole life. You were watching somebody run a drill. It looks smooth, don't it? They're like, yeah, I've done this before. I helped my uncle build a deck once. Well, here, there's another drill over there. You get on it. And then you watch them. They can't even screw a screw into the deck. Like, what's wrong with you? I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You're a fool. Why don't you instead humbly just say, hey, I helped my uncle once, and I enjoyed it, but I really don't know what I'm doing. Well, we're going to learn then. Let's learn a few things. And then somebody's teachable, and then all of a sudden they're going to be wise. So I hope you discipline your kids for saying that. I know. Or if your kid says, don't tell me, I'm the man that's going to tell you. I love to have Bible verses too. Hey, I want you to know I'm getting this from the Bible. That's what the Bible says. Don't be a fool. Be a fool. They don't learn from correction. That's what fools do. They don't learn. They make their parents ashamed, Proverbs says. They chase women, even though there's warning against women. They can't stop. Fools are the addicted. They get addicted to things that are definitely a demise. It's bad for them, but you're addicted and you can't stop. It's tough. When you know what the Bible just says, well, I'm an addict. Well, just own it. You're a fool. Dad was a drunk. Uncle's drunk. Maybe your mama's a drunk. And you think it's okay to drink. Well, you can do whatever you want to. Fool. You're just foolish. Now, I'm not saying you have the strength to always stop that. I do think you need the Spirit of God inside. That's why Jesus, he's wisdom. You got to have Jesus first of all, right? Fear the Lord's beginning. What you fear God. It's what you fear. It's what you're going to respect. It's what you're going to cave to. And most people get around and they just cave to culture. They cave to whatever people think. We're not that way. Christians don't operate that way. We cave only when the Bible says to cave. So let me do this. Out of all the stuff that wise and foolish things are said, let me give you, I'm gonna end this with some verses and it'll be over. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 30. This is going to be the end of my preaching. Proverbs 21, 30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. First of all, as we're dealing with the book of wisdom here, Proverbs, there's no wisdom that trumps God's. Just remember that. No matter what says, I don't care how smart Professor so-and-so is. I don't care. God's word says this. Well, we've proven that wrong. You haven't proven nothing but that you're a fool. You're a fool. And just to let you know, there's no wisdom against the Lord. You'll stick with this book right here. That's what we do. But people think they're wise all the time. And so, you know, look at Proverbs 23 and verse 4. Go to 23 and verse 4. Hey, labor not to be rich. Don't make that your motive. Cease from thine own wisdom. Cease from thinking you know everything. Yeah, but I'm a grown man. Yeah, I know, fool. You're foolish. That's foolish. That's plumb foolish. I watch enough YouTube videos in the world and I'm still struggling. You know what I do? I just find a guy that's done it before me, got a little bit more wisdom and listen. And I take heed to it. And I went over to an old timer the other day and he's just like, well, let me show you something here. Do that. And I got up and I'm shooting. I was consistently 4 inches off at 10 yards. Then the further you go back, now that four has become 12 and now you ain't hitting nothing. This guy straightened me up. And then at the end there, when I was doing pretty well, you know, he's just like, he goes, you got it. I felt good walking out of that place. I got it. Hey, tell everybody you know that I got it. You know, walking out. Hey, here's my wife's number. Call my wife, tell her I got it. I'm good. But cease from your own wisdom. So, and young people, you know, this is a good one for all of us because, you know, you've got Google, you've seen your parents make a lot of mistakes, right? It's just real. It's how it is. They're human. And so sometimes then you start figuring things out on your own. God's view. Get God's view on every subject. Your mom is saying something, dad doing something. They might be godly people in this church and you're unhappy with what they do. Get God's view. Watch your view. Watch it, because the human view ends up being foolish. Cease from your own wisdom, but get God's, right? So there's no wisdom against the Lord. The Lord gives wisdom. Wisdom cries out, just like a prostitute. Proverbs will use both. A lady that will cry out to get guys to come into her house, and she's doing it all for money. She ain't doing it for love. She'll tell you she loves you, though. But come in. She's crying out, and then the same proverb it turns on and says, but wisdom's crying too. What voice are you listening to? They both cry. It's relational. So now let's go to, by the way, Proverbs 7:4 is where it says, say to wisdom, thou art my sister. That's the verse I was using. Wisdom's relational. So remember, you talk to God, let him talk to you. You talk to God, let him talk to you. Make it a relationship. Talk to him all day long. Prayer ain't supposed to be something you just like, Lord, I'm getting ready to go to bed now and just bless my kids. Amen. I ain't going to pray for myself because I'm godly. No, you're not going to pray for yourself because you're a fool. It's relational. You should be talking to God all day long. Now, when you kind of concentrate at work, I get that. But there's times when you can eat lunch and you just be like, man, Lord, I don't know why I keep thinking of my mom today. God, I want to be a good son to my mom. Man, Lord, I hope she's doing okay. Lord, I'm going to call her when I get done with this project here. And Lord, I want to be a good son and make sure I'm praying these things. It's relational. And then I get in God's word and he's speaking to me. So let me give a few more and I'll end this thing. Did you know wise people, fools are easily deceived? Just because it shines, it's not gold. It's glittering, it's not gold. Fools do that. Fools do that. Wise people are not easily deceived. And let me show you this. Everybody, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. What's it say? Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker, man. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is definitely not wise. but a fool. They're a fool. Alcohol. Look at all the arrests. Study this on your own. Look at all the arrests just in our county. And just, a guy's getting arrested for doing this. She's getting arrested for doing that. This situation, well, she's really getting arrested for abusing her kids. Well, guess what? Her issue's not abusing her kids. If you read the report, it involves alcohol. She's out of her mind a little bit. Don't be deceived by that. Wine? Alcohol? Fools are deceived by it. It pulls you in. How many's been foolish in here before, man? Everybody raise their hand. My gosh, I've been fool. Hey, be wise. You know what? Now, it don't deceive me like it used to. Because I see what it does. Not just to me, but other people. You ever get around a bunch of drunks? My wife worked for a bunch of Jewish lawyers one time for like 2 years. Really high-end. They did medical malpractice, these lawyers did. They just defended doctors and hospitals. And so they invited us to this party. I'm at this party. I had to go buy a suit coat because you couldn't get into the restaurant without one. I didn't even have one. So I walk in this place, and they're like, hey, what do you do for a living? I'm like, well, you know, I pour concrete. I'm a cement mason. Oh, yeah, we just had our driveway done, you know. And I'm like, yeah, did you do it yourself? And they're like, are you kidding me? No, you know. And then this lady speaks up. Her husband just bought her a new Jaguar for her birthday. She takes off her coat, and I was just like, my gosh, is that thing living? That lady got a bear on her back, you know. But yeah, that's how these people were. You know what happened? Like, I was leagues from these people until they started to drink. These people, it didn't take them more 45 minutes to an hour into the night, and everybody started getting a little tipsy. And guess what? Now they were speaking my language. I wasn't even drunk. I wasn't even drinking. We're like, what's up, man? We were talking like we were friends, you know. And my wife went to work on Monday after this Christmas party on a Friday, and her boss gave her $200 cash, and she came home and said, my boss wanted you to have this. And I was like, what for? Because his wife told him he made a fool out of himself around you. I said, he didn't make no fool. I said, never mind. Yes, he did. But people are easily deceived. I don't care what kind of education you got, but when things in life deceive you and pull you in, and the things of the world and this culture that, you know, and guys, we're all part of this. We know what it's about, male, female. There's certain things that pull you in. Don't be a fool and be deceived by that stuff. Know the truth and be wise. So we're easily deceived when we're not wise and we don't take in this book. You know what happens in Proverbs 20:26? It says, 20:26, it says, a wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. Knock that guy out, then drive your car over him. That's what you do. So that's what a wise king does. Notice, you know, so get this. Wise people scatters the wicked. When you're a fool, you hang around foolish people, don't we? Most of the time when people are doing stupid stuff, or unless your addiction gets so nasty and bad, people don't even want to be around you. Then you're putting aluminum foil over your windows and pulling the blinds, and your house is pitch dark. And you're in there by yourself getting all jacked up. I'm like, wow, you've been deceived. How foolish is that? What a way to live. A lot of people live that way. Knock it off. You know what we do when we're wise? We scatter from the wicked. When people don't want to change, you got to be the guy. You got to be the mom that stands up and says, no, I'm sorry. My child cannot go to your house. Done. We scatter from the wicked. Are you calling me wicked? Well, kind of, fool. You know, I'm joking about all that. I don't want people to beat me up and think I'm better than everybody else. But I do know what a fool is and what wise is. I'm not going to entrust my daughter to a house of fools. And I don't want to be the fool. And then let me give you the last one and I'll close. Because Proverbs, we could just read one proverb right now and all of us would be like, dang, this is good. Go to Proverbs 13 and I'll close this message out. Proverbs 13:20, one of my favorites. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If I could give you any word of advice today, if you've been foolish, if you've been a fool, quit hanging around fools. Easy, right? That's hard to do. Yeah, but you don't understand. These are my family members. Yeah, they might be your cousins. That could be your uncle. But a fool's a fool. You mean I got to cut my family off? Maybe. Sorry. That's just, if you want to be a companion of fools, you're going to be a fool. It's hardcore, I know it. Walk with the wise, you'll be wise. You know why it's hard to walk with wise people? I remember I used to hate playing pool because my brother was 3 years older than me and all of his friends, and my dad was into it at one time, and I got down there. Well, I'm 3 years younger than him. When you're little, there's certain things stretching across the table you couldn't get to, and you know. And then my brother's putting it behind his back and making shots, and I remember my dad said this. He goes, "You're only going to get better if you play with people better than you." Instead, I like to bring my friends over because I could whip all their tail at pool. But I was getting nowhere because they were the same size as me, same age. Oh, you want to play chess with people you can beat all the time? Okay. If you want to be a fool, be a fool. But if you want to be wise, wise people hang around wise people. This is why Jesus set up discipleship. That's exactly why. That's why we push discipleship in this church. If you're a lady, if you're a guy, you need a man. You need another woman that's been before you, and she's been further than you down the road. It don't mean she knows everything about everything. She just knows where to go. This is the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. Positive action. Do the next right thing. Get in the book of Proverbs. You're lacking wisdom. You know what James says? If you lack wisdom, what do you got to do? Just ask. It is that simple. But see, when it's not relational, you don't do that. Okay, God, I'm not quite sure what to do or how to handle this. I'm not sure how they're going to respond. But Lord, I'm doing this to discipline my kids. I don't know what she's going to do, what excuse she's going to make, God. But please speak to me, and I'll do the right thing. But, you know, it's relational. I'm talking with him. I'm asking him, God, please give me wisdom. If you ever call me, want to come in for a meeting, you know what I always do? I don't know why you come in. Sometimes I assume the worst. But before you ever come in, I'm usually saying, "Dear Jesus, I don't know what we're going to talk about. But man, I need you. Hey, Dad, now's a good time to download what I need, you know. Give it to me." So who wants to be virtuous and war-worthy? I do. Well, a lot of work. Most people ain't willing to pay that kind of price. Who's going to pay the price? Who will pay the price? Jesus, thank you for your word today. Lord, Proverbs is hard, man. It's a book just filled with wisdom, and a lot of it goes contrary even to what things I say and sometimes the way I behave. Lord, we love you today. We love you so much. You're a good father to us. I want to pray for the man or woman in this room. But Lord, first of all, if they need to know you, I pray they'd get to know you today. And second of all, God, I hope we are people that will allow you to father us. Download wisdom from the book of Proverbs to our life. I pray that the men and women that have been here for a while, that I pray they'd be virtuous. They're war worthy. They know what wisdom looks like. They have a relationship with it, with you, Jesus. So thank you, God, for today. We love you. We want to praise your holy name right now and leave this building as wise, not as the fools. Amen.